Hey, hey, beauties. Welcome to a Sacred Space podcast. I'm Katie, your host, and I am so excited to share with you how to create sacred space in order to heal and empower yourself. I want you to know that it is possible to live your dream life, to create amazing relationships, to experience joy daily, to be fully connected to yourself and passionate about life. No matter where you're at right now, it is possible to heal your trauma, your anxiety, and live a life beyond your wildest dreams. In this podcast, I will share with you the tools and resources I've used in order to create my dream life. And if it's possible for me, I know it is for you too. So let's get started.
So today I am so excited. I have Kelly Alsop on the podcast today. She is a relationship and dating coach, and I love her. She's part of my Boss Babes collaboration and support group, and we're here to talk about all things dating, and I'm going to let her introduce herself and just give us some backstory. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Katie. Thanks so much for having me on today. Yep, my name is Kelly. It's actually Kelly Love. Alsop is my last name, though, but I do go by Kelly Love. So thanks so much for having me on today. As you said, I'm a dating and relationship coach, and I mostly work with women, and I help them uncover what's keeping them stuck from, you know, from actually attracting a great relationship. And, you know, a lot of other things we've talked before, you and I have had a few conversations, thank goodness, about, you know, healing, the process of healing and just kind of working through those things that keep us continuing to date the same type of person that is just not right for us. So the 30-second story is how I became a dating and relationship coach, probably more like a 2-minute story, is all about I went through my own heartbreak, obviously. I, you know, went through a really bad divorce about 7 years ago. And then within a year, I found myself in another relationship with someone very, very similar. And, you know, I found myself starting my life over. Excuse me, I'm a little tongue-tied this morning. I don't think I've had enough coffee yet, so I apologize. You know, I started my life over again. I left another relationship. So 2 relationship failures within a 3-year period. And, you know, unfortunately, or fortunately as it may be, I looked around and I thought, wow, I am the person who needs to change. And so that's kind of how I started my journey. I had a relationship rock bottom. And from that point, I just started learning how to heal myself. I started working with coaches, mentors, you know, reading all the books, doing all the things as you're familiar with. And about 2.5 years ago, I had no idea about the online coaching world. In fact, I didn't even really have an active social media account. I just went up in the mountains and I had what I've heard now called a divine download. I was hiking. Hiking is one of my favorite things to do, and it's how I connect with the universe. Mm-hmm. And I was hiking and the universe said to me, hey, why don't you teach women this stuff that you just learned? I'm surely there's someone you can help. So I really just started my business as a means to, I was actually working for free in the beginning, just really trying to help other women. And so it evolved from that point. And now I am one of the fortunate ones to be able to do this work full time. And so that's kind of my little spiel as to how I got started and why I do what I do.
I love it. It's very similar to mine. And I think that that's why we just like resonate with each other so much, because we went through very similar things and we saw like our toxic patterns and how they just kept repeating and repeating. And like, no, I'm done with this. You know, like, I don't want to do this anymore, you know? So, okay. So let's just get into it. What you want to talk about. And we'll just go with that. Like, as far as just relationships and what's important, like, how do you break these toxic cycles and these patterns that we find ourselves in with men in relationships?
It's really important to point out, first, you have to know that you have a problem, right? I mean, I think that that's, you know, the first step in anything. I know if you go to a 12-step program or, you know, you have to identify there's a problem here. Mm-hmm. And for me, I don't want to like you know, say you have the problem, but for me, it was me. I had the problem. So if I have the problem, that gave me a considerable amount of power because it was like, oh, well, if I have a problem, then that means that I can also have the solution. That means that I can do some things to be able to help myself, right? A lot of times what I see happen is, and you know, I'm not trying to call anyone out here, but I see a lot of women and men too, that we want to blame the problem outside of us. We want to blame our circumstances. We want to blame other people. We want to blame our parents. And yes, certain things contribute to how we grow up, what patterns are established, all of that stuff. I've had a lot of trauma, sexual assaults, I've been abused. I've had a lot of those things happen to me, and I had a choice to make. It was really all about, am I going to continue to allow other people and circumstances to take my personal power for it? And you know, I had to learn how to forgive these people because they were doing the best that they could, and not to exonerate them from any responsibility that they had. But really, if I continue to remain a victim, I'm always going to continue to be in that mindset, and nothing is ever going to change for me, right? So for me, it was all about learning how to take radical responsibility for the way that I felt. And, you know, obviously let people have their own responsibility for what they've done. But, you know, me deciding to do something different, and that included looking at dating in a different way. I had to learn how to date based on the values that I wanted in a relationship or the things that I wanted in a relationship. And that wasn't something that my parents taught me. That was something that one of my coaches taught me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why private coaching is so powerful, is we can have those people, you know, people in our life that can point out certain ways that we're doing things. Like, I kept picking these guys over and over and over again that were not in alignment with my values.
Right.
And that was on me. That's not on them. They're just being who they are. And so I had to really, really dig deep and look at my own personal values. And not only am I aligned with my own values, am I acting in accordance with my own values, but who am I choosing, and are they in alignment with my values as well?
Exactly. And I think, like, that was my exact process. Like, my moment of empowerment was when I became aware that, like, every single person I dated, like, did the same thing. And that I was the common denominator in that. So when I took responsibility for that, that was my moment of empowerment. Because like you said, it gives you the control. When you see that you have, that you are, I mean, it's kind of tough wording, but when you see that you're the problem, you know what I mean? Then you can fix it. When it's somebody else, when it's these people doing things to you, you have no control. And I think that's why we end up in victim status. And that's where I was for so long, because it was always these men doing these things to me. And then I had no control. And when I realized that I was the one choosing these men, and I was the one that was the common denominator in all of these things, suddenly I had the control. So I that was like my moment of empowerment. And then from there, I did the same thing. I decided, okay, well, what do I want? What are my values? What do I want in a man? And what do I value in life? And mm-hmm. I wrote all of that out, and I like consistently looked at that. And then that gave me a sense of integrity, where I was mm-hmm. able to live out of my own integrity and choose things based on my own integrity. And then whoever's in alignment with that integrity is who's going to start coming into my life. Mm-hmm. And it was like almost instantaneous, like, in how that occurred. You know what I mean? Because, like, I only started doing that like a couple of years ago after like this insane heartbreak that I experienced. And then I started doing that, and it was like within a year of me discovering my patterns and seeing that all of that, and like that all these cycles revolved around me, and writing out my values and what sacred union looked like to me, then mm-hmm. I manifested true love. Like, boom. You know what I mean? Like, how it was like insane how fast it happened. Like,
you gave me chills as you were talking, because you're right. It doesn't have to be this long, drawn out process, right? It really starts with a commitment and a decision. And for me, it really felt like it happened fast as well, because it was like I changed my mind, and because I changed my mind and I started going to work on those deep subconscious fears and those deep subconscious beliefs that I had about love and relationships, all of a sudden I was seeing things in a different light. And so I was attracting different things into my experience, and not just men, but friends. And I had to let go of, you know, some old toxic relationships where I was very codependent. I mean, it was instant. It was almost instantaneous, like you said, where once I had that shift of perception and I was able to take my power back, and I was able to really understand that if I did things a little bit differently, I could have a different result, right? They say, if nothing changes, nothing changes. Right. You want to get something different, you got to do something different. Mm-hmm. So as I changed my mind and I became committed to doing something differently, it almost instantaneously had a different result. And it's interesting. I'm glad that you brought that up, because a lot of times when we work one-on-one, it's funny because the biggest radical changes happen with my private clients a lot of times in that first month. Mm-hmm. And really it's because all of a sudden they've made a different choice. They've made a commitment to invest in themselves. Right. And because they've made a commitment, all of a sudden they're starting to see things so different. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, that's exactly my experience too. I think that I don't think that it has to be this long drawn out process. And I think that sometimes it can be discouraging, because you're in this place and you think that you have to do all this hard work. And a lot of times I see that on social media, like with other people who are talking about relationships and manifesting true love and all this stuff. They make it seem like you have to be completely in love with yourself before you can ever attract love, and, you know, and all of these things. And I'm like, well, that's not true. Like, there's tons of days where I'm like not completely in love with myself. Like, part of the work is going to happen in the relationship.
Absolutely.
You have to just make these different choices, discover your values, like commit, like you said, like commit to making changes in your life. And then that it's going to just snowball from there. You know what I mean? And then when you get into the relationship, then you're going to realize, well, my work isn't done. I still have these triggers. I still have these things. And that's more of discovering yourself and more of falling in love with yourself as you're falling in love with another person. So the work is never done, and you're never going to be completely in love with yourself. And that's how you manifest love. Like, that's not how it goes. At least in my experience, and in the experiences with people that I've worked with and, you know, known and all of these things, that's just not how it works.
Right. I think that's definitely a false idea that people cling to. And I think our job, at least my job as a coach, is to be very honest about the journey, right? Like, I wrote a post, it wasn't too long ago, about how I almost broke up with my boyfriend. And not that I did, it was just in my head, right?
Right.
Like, I was super triggered. I started totally reacting out of fear. I wasn't responsive. I was very reactive with him. I made this huge problem where there was no problem to begin with. And luckily, because I've made decisions about my partner based on my values and his values aligning, we have 90% of our values aligning, right? And so for me, that's a pretty good percentage, but there's always going to be a percentage where we're going to butt heads.
Right.
And those are where the opportunities for growth are. And we had a huge opportunity for growth. Conflict is good. Conflict is there to help us, because what happened in that particular situation last week is I was able to see my dark shadow still. I was able to see his dark shadow, and we both were able to talk it out, get real vulnerable, real authentic, real transparent with our feelings, and really deep dive into what was going on, like subconsciously, at least for me. Sometimes, I mean, I love my boyfriend, but I don't know if he's necessarily as over analytical as I am about every little thing. And that's okay, right? He doesn't need to be. he doesn't need to be. But the point that I'm trying to make is that that was such a great opportunity for me to grow with him in our partnership. And the work is never done. In fact, if anything, I think that he is like my soulmate in the sense that he is going to trigger those things in me. He is going to challenge me to rise to the occasion and be my best self. And not from a place of like, he's never abusive, he's never unkind or whatever, but he doesn't have to agree with me 100% of the time or even co-sign everything that I believe. And that is very healthy. Yeah. And, you know, it's just that when we heal and when we work with someone like you or we work with someone like me, we get more tools in our toolbox. Mm-hmm. Instead of having a hammer and a nail, we all of a sudden have a nail gun and a saw mm-hmm. and all sorts of tools that are much more powerful to resolve our problems, because life is still going to happen. Things are still going to hit the fan. There's going to be things, there's days where I'm like, I look at him and I love him so much, but I'm like, you are bugging me. You are bugging out of me, right? But those are opportunities for me to look within and go, okay, well, what am I bugged in myself? Is it me not loving myself and accepting myself, so I'm projecting on him? What's really going on with me? You know, and if I didn't have a partner that allowed me to have those opportunities for growth, I think I would be bored with the relationship. I wouldn't want that type of relationship.
Right, exactly. And I think that that's like a huge major point, is that, because a lot of times too, like we do this work around what a relationship looks like to us and sacred union and like the whole manifestation process, right? You write it out and you're very specific and you have the feelings and the whole jam. And then this person comes into your life and they're like 80, 90% of what it is. And then you question it. Well, it's not 100%. Right. That's the whole point. Because growth has to happen. Our souls are constantly looking for expansion. So your state is never going to be 100% of what you envision, because you have to grow into that, right? Yep. So they're going to come into your life. They're going to be on board about 80, 90%. That's like where mine is. He's like that 85 percentile thing. And it's perfect, because he, in the year that we have been together, I so much healing, like, so much healing and growth has happened in that year that would have never been possible had I been alone or had I been trying to do it on my own. We need other people to reflect us. We need other people to help us expand and grow. And that's the whole point of a soulmate relationship, is to come together with another person as one, have that reflection, and be able to expand your souls even bigger and brighter and move forward, you know, in your purpose. If you don't have that, you're not moving forward. You're not expanding. And then you feel unfulfilled, like really unfulfilled. So those relationships where there's room for growth like that give us fulfillment, and they help us continue on our journey. So it's like, you know, it's super important.
Totally. And I think I love that we're talking about this, because I think there's so much misconception about what a soulmate relationship is,
right?
Or as you're using the term sacred union. I really love that. My original company was called Sacred Relationships. And I love that. I think I think all of our relationships are sacred, because we are here to help each other expand and grow into the highest version of ourselves. And oftentimes that comes through conflict, right? We are refined by fire. We are refined by, a diamond is made through pressure. Like, we are not going to be these beautiful, glorious beings without having a little bit of friction or a little bit of polishing, so to speak. And these relationships, our soulmate relationships, friendships, family members, they're here to teach us so that we can become that highest and brightest version of ourselves. But oftentimes, and I actually wrote a post about this morning, and I'm going to post it today and probably piss people off, but we don't want to do the work. You know, I don't want to do the work until I'm in a ton of pain.
Right.
I'm not going to do something different until I'm in a ton of pain. That's just been my experience. Today I have a little bit more, you know, expanded awareness, where I'm a little bit more proactive in doing the work and really trying to continue to expand and grow and evolve myself. But in the beginning, it wasn't about that, Katie. It was about, I just wanted to be out of pain.
Right. Right.
I didn't want this pain anymore. So please give me something that's going to alleviate my pain.
Mm-hmm. And we look for the quick fixes, right? Like that's why, how we end up in addiction places. That's how we end up, you know, doing drugs or using sex to numb our pain or to escape our pain, because we're always looking for the quick fix. We don't yeah. want to dive into our pain, and we don't want to see it for what it really is, because initially it feels too painful. But the weird, crazy thing about that is that, you know, you can be living, I was living in pain like since I was 7 years old. You know, I was in this constant pain. I used drugs, I used partying, I used all these things, relationships, control, all these different addictions I had to numb and escape that pain. When I finally was in so much pain, I couldn't not do the work around it. And I looked at those emotions, like the pain went away. Like it was so much less scarier, like than I actually initially thought that it was, and spent, you know, almost 30 years of my life, you know, avoiding. Yeah. And then as soon as I dived into it and just decided to feel it and decided to let it move through me, it was boom, just, oh, that's it. You know what I mean? It was like, so it was way easier than I thought it was going to be. It just, I mean, it's still work. You still have to do the work, but it's not as hard as our minds tell us that it is.
Right. Well, and our minds are designed to protect us from pain, right? And so we think that by avoiding the pain, we're going to somehow, it's magically going to disappear or go away. And there's a saying that says, whatever you resist, persists. Mm-hmm. And that was my experience. If I, any type of emotion, whether it's pain, if it's anger, frustration, let's just stick to negative emotion. I think all emotion is valuable, and I don't really want to label things as positive or negative, but there's people, I mean, we've talked about A Course in Miracles before, right? That's yeah. kind of a concept of duality, is there is no duality. But these perceived negative emotions, frustration, disappointment, anger, I sometimes think that if I avoid those things that they're going to magically go away. And what I have found is as I welcome them, they move through me quicker. And they're here to teach me. When I say, I start to ask myself or ask the emotion, what are you here to teach me? It moves through me much quicker. Same with pain, right? And I had this thing where, and I don't know if this is on topic or not, but speaking of emotions, I never allowed myself to feel angry. So what happened for me is at 30 something years old, I'd never had acne in my life, right? Never even really a pimple. Never in my teenage years. And all of a sudden at 30 years of age, I started having all the cystic acne. Well, as I looked into it and I started to just try to get it to go away. I used all the acne lotions, all the things. I went to the dermatologist. I was on all the medications and nothing was going away. In fact, it was getting worse. My face was always red and inflamed. Well, I started diving into the spiritual meaning of that, and it was anger. Mm-hmm. And what I recognized is that I never allowed myself to truly feel angry for all of the things that had happened to me. And not to be a victim, but just to really feel that anger and be in that place of anger.
Right.
So what I started doing is I started welcoming my acne. I started saying, you know what, you're beautiful. You can stay as long as you like. Okay. And you can tell my face today is not, I have some scarring, but it's not, I don't have acne like I had. I started telling my anger, you can stay here. What are you here to teach me? And I spent probably about 9 months in anger. And it was the weirdest experience, one of the weirdest experiences I've ever had. It was super powerful because I just allowed it to be. I didn't try to make it go away. I didn't try to numb the anger or escape the anger. I said, you know what, anger, you are welcome here. You're welcome as long as you'd like, and you can teach me whatever you need to teach me, and then you'll go. And what started happening, and I stopped using all these harsh products on my face, started using oil instead, which is so counterintuitive to a lot of people. And my face started healing, and my heart started healing. So I had a very healing experience and it was a physical manifestation of my anger on my face, I started having a very healing experience because I allowed my anger to persist or to be there. I didn't try to push it away. I didn't try to, you know, I've had people, clients tell me, I'm so angry. I'm like, oh, that's so good. I'm so glad you're angry. And they get mad at me. And I'm like, no, you'll thank me one day. Because as you allow these emotions to flow through you, you'll realize they're not scary. They're not as scary as we make them out to be. Right. And the more you let them flow through you, you're going to be healed, you know, by those emotions, by that experience. And so it's a very interesting concept, but I truly believe that everything is here to teach us, right? Yeah. And so any emotional response that I have to anything, whether it's joy, whether it's sadness, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. But it's always, the question then becomes, what is this here to teach?
Yeah, I agree. And that's so interesting about the acne, because I have had acne my entire life. And I am the same way as you. Like, I never allowed myself to feel anger until like a couple of years ago when I really realized the benefit of that. But I think that I spent so long suppressing my anger that I'm going to really watch out for that when I have breakouts and just really check in with myself and make sure that I'm acknowledging my anger, because I never really put that together. I think for me, what I read was in a Louise Hay book about acne, and it was saying that I feel ugly inside. And that definitely was true for me. I had so much shame. So yeah. Like, I started having acne like immediately, and I've always had a problem with it since I was a young kid. And that was because I carried so much shame. Shame yeah. was my big emotion that was just like, you know, you're a terrible person, you're evil, whatever. And I just never wanted to look at it. And definitely when I started looking at that shame, and that's a hard emotion to look at, like that's a hard emotion to go inside and really feel and look at. But when I started doing that and I started writing down all the things that I felt shame about, I think that that is probably the most important thing I've ever done with every really emotion you can handle in kind of a different way. But for me with shame, I have to write it down. Like, I have to write down what made me feel ashamed and why it made me feel ashamed. Where is my humiliation at? Where does the shame live in my body? Like, and I have to really write it out every time I feel it. And when I started doing that, my skin started clearing up and I started realizing like that I wasn't this ugly person inside, you know what I mean? And that I could look inside myself, because one of the biggest things for me was looking inside myself was very, very scary, because I thought I was filled with so much shame that I thought that I was just evil in there. You know what I mean? And so that was like a huge thing for me. It was huge. But I'm gonna be very aware of the anger thing too, because I know that.
Yeah, I don't remember where I read that, but it was some sort of article. It wasn't Louise Hayes, but it makes sense though, that whatever ugly emotion that is, maybe for you it's shame, maybe for you it's anger, it doesn't really matter. You perceive it as being an ugly emotion. Right. So it's going to show up on your face. So you literally have to face your emotion, right? Yes. Which is an interesting concept. But this really relates to relationships, because if we don't face those ugly emotions and we don't deep dive into our own darkness, then we're never going to be able to accept another person's darkness. The more I'm okay with myself, the more I'm at peace with myself. I can look at my partner, I can look at you, I can look at my clients, I can look at anyone just with the eyes of love and not really like pick them apart. The only time I'm ever picking my partner apart is when I'm picking myself apart. When I'm telling myself I'm not good enough, so therefore I'm projecting onto him that he's not good enough and he better get his stuff together or whatever my idea is in the moment, you know, of like looking at him. So, you know, with our emotions, when we can look into our own soul, when we can be intimate with ourselves and our own emotional state, whether it's, you know, perceived positive or perceived negative, and we can make peace with that, we can really have these healthy relationships with other people, because we don't have to control them. We don't have to try to, people don't have to jump through hoops to make us happy, because we're so okay with everything. Yeah. That's where the true freedom and the true peace in relationships lies, in my personal opinion and experience.
No, I agree with you completely. And I also think that it breeds honesty, because if we're being honest with ourselves about the way that we feel, we can do that with our partner. if you can't be honest with yourself, you can't be honest with your partner. And if you can't be honest with your partner, your relationship will turn ugly and it will, you know, fail or be really hard to get back to a peaceful place. Because honesty is like a foundational element of any relationship, and that includes your relationship with yourself. And I think that if you're really willing to, like you said, be intimate with ourselves and how we're feeling and embrace our emotions, then we can express that with our partner, and that creates connection. Because mm-hmm. if you're not being honest with your partner, you're constantly creating a disconnect. And then you're never going to feel that intimacy that you really, really want and that they really, really want. But if you're able to be just completely honest with them about how you feel, even when you're triggered or even when you're like embarrassed of the emotion that you're feeling, like if it's like jealousy or something like that, but you're able to be honest about it, it creates connection every single time, no matter how.
And you said something earlier about having integrity. I think having integrity, you have to have integrity with yourself. First, it starts with the honesty, right? Like you just said, you have to be honest. And I can't be honest with you. I can't be honest with my partner. I can't be honest with anyone if I'm not willing to be honest with myself. Then comes having integrity with that honesty. Okay, I've got this thing, this bit of information that I've really distilled. This is my piece of honesty. But now I have to have integrity, because I can have honesty and I can carry around this honesty, but without integrity, I can't express that fully. I can't actually be in alignment with what I say I am, right?
Right.
And, you know, this is where, I've talked about boundaries a lot. I think you've talked about having boundaries a lot. Boundaries really, at its core, is just all about having integrity with yourself.
Yeah.
And what is okay for you and what is not okay for you. And Brené Brown talks a lot about that, about having, with boundaries, it's really about, you know, having integrity with yourself. Mm-hmm. And choosing that over what's fun and fast and easy, right? And so relationships are not easy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of opportunity for growth, but we can continue to, you know, we can embrace it. We can embrace all that we're learning from another person and all that we're learning about ourselves when we have these connections with other people, or we can hide from it. We can run from it. And you had said it earlier, you can run through, you know, addiction, shopping. I have women that like, they won't invest, you know, a couple hundred dollars a month in coaching, but they certainly can spend $500 or $600 a month on shopping, right, or eating out or other things. We pick the fast and easy thing versus actually choosing what to, you know, to do what might be a little bit more difficult for us, but is more sustainable long-term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And beneficial. Like we're not, especially when you don't know what you value and you're not living from that, like in that sense of integrity, you're not ever going to choose out of your own best interest.
Nope.
You're always going to choose what, like you said, like what's fast and easy in the moment. You're not going to choose what's in your best interest. And obviously, like spending $600 on a month on shopping and clothes to feed something within yourself rather than investing that in coaching, which one seems like it's really in your best interest? Which one's going to build you a foundation to, you know, so that you can heal and so that you can actually get the things that you want and the fulfillment that you're craving? Because if you have an addiction or you're going out and shopping, you're craving fulfillment. Those things give you a sense of security and fulfillment in the moment, but they're not sustainable and they're not foundational. So you have to know, like, okay, is this creating, or ask, you know, is this creating a foundation for me that's lasting, or is this giving me a false sense of security and fulfillment in the moment? And those are two very different things that we have to have awareness around first in order to change, you know, and that comes down again to having core values and knowing what they are and building that foundation for yourself.
Well, and I think that that's why pain is so valuable, because we live in a culture where things are fast, right? Mm-hmm. I can get a meal or anything delivered to my door within 30 minutes. Like, yeah. I really can. I can get an Uber at my house, Uber Eats. Like, I can have whatever I want, and it's super quick and easy, right? And so we're trained to look for the simplest, fastest, most efficient way. And unfortunately, with healing, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
But pain, pain is a great teacher because pain gives us this gift of really desperation, so to speak, where we're like, okay, well, I, you know, we can continue to avoid it, but there will inevitably come a day where you cannot escape your pain anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to just face it head on. And for me, you know, I had years of alcohol, substance abuse, and the alcohol stopped working for me. And that was a huge gift because all of a sudden my solution or the thing that I was using to cope with my own reality and my pain was not working for me anymore. And so I had to find another solution, which really essentially at its core was diving into the pain and really just sitting with it and making friends with my pain and my fear and all the other ugly emotions that I've been running with or running from, excuse me, for 30 something years. But if it wasn't for that pain, like opening the door to that, or that pain really encouraging me to look inside, you know, I don't know where I would be today, because you know this, as you heal yourself, you help heal the world. You healed yourself, so now you put that out into the world, mm-hmm. and you have a ripple effect in the world. And so as we choose into that, as we choose into healing ourselves and just embracing that pain as a teacher, mm-hmm. I mean, miraculous things happen for our social circles, our social media circles, our personal, you know, our clients. I mean, so many miraculous things happen when we choose to opt into feeling that and just facing it head on.
Yes, I agree. And I've seen that in my own life time and time again. It like blows my mind. It blows my mind. Like, especially like with my, excuse me, I'm still getting over this cold. It's just,
oh, you poor thing.
Go away. Especially with my relationship with my parents, like that was such a miracle, like how it happened. As I started to heal, then all of a sudden my relationship with my parents started to heal, and it has become this amazing, like we had never been close, you know, since I was a little kid, and it's always been this tension, it's always been this fight, and now it's become this beautiful relationship that we have. Like I feel close to them, I can talk to them, you know, argue. Like it's like literally night and day from what it used to be. Mm-hmm. And your relationship with your parents is always going to be like the hardest relationship that you have usually, you know what I mean? But and I lived with them. Like that's what I did during my hearing healing process, is I ended up living with them. And I think that was probably that close proximity is what, you know, it's like that, immersion therapy or whatever, like you get in there and you just make it happen. And that first year was hard. But then all these miracles came from, and it was literally because I chose to take responsibility and I forgave them. You know what I mean? Like, forgiveness is like so powerful, you know, and I forgave my daughter's father, and I forgave all the people who had ever hurt me. And that seriously created like every miracle, like just all these miracles that I just am constantly blown away. I look at my life, and, like, it's just so different. Like I can't believe that this is the way that it is, but I believe it and I receive it, but it's all just so completely different. You know what I mean? And forgiveness was a huge key in that. Huge key.
Well, I think like, I mean, let's bring it back around to dating. I mean, as a dating coach too, you have to be willing to, one of the things that I teach a lot of is that forgiveness piece. You have to be willing to forgive your parents and be willing to forgive your past relationships. Now, I also teach that doesn't mean that you need to have a relationship with everyone. Right. Unfortunately, I don't have a close relationship with my parents because it does take two people to have a relationship. And if right. one party has done the forgiveness and is open to having that relationship and the other party isn't, there's really nothing you can do there, right?
Right.
All I can do is take responsibility for my feelings, how I show up in my life, and let them be who they are. But I had to do the forgiveness work, because what I was doing by holding, you know, by blaming them was just holding myself hostage, really. They don't understand, unfortunately, they don't have the awareness that I do, that they're, you know, if they're holding on to unforgiveness, that they're the one that is suffering. And maybe right. they've done their forgiveness work and we're never just going to have a relationship. And that's okay. Like, I've come to a place of peace with that. Like, mm-hmm. it will happen when it's supposed to happen, if it's supposed to happen in exactly. this life. right? I'm not going to force those things, but for me to be free and for me to have healthy relationships with my partner and with my friends and with the family that I have created, because I have a lot of family I've created that is not my blood.
Right.
I had to forgive those people in my past who did harm me. You know, and there were certain instances where these acts that they did were absolutely atrocious, and no child or no teenager or no young adult should have ever experienced some of the things that I've experienced. But I'm not going to continue to remain a victim. Those people were huge in teaching me how to love. They helped me teach, or they helped me learn how to love myself and stand in my truth, stand in my power. And you know, I am so grateful for those experiences. Mm-hmm. And people that are maybe dealing with that pain right now, you know, they might not be able to understand that. And I couldn't at some time in my life either. I couldn't understand how these experiences were going to help shape me into being the woman that I am today. But looking back, I'm so grateful for every single one of those experiences, because it gave me the opportunity to grow. It gave me the opportunity to really learn about myself and learn how to love myself. And if I didn't have those experiences, I wouldn't be the woman that I am today. And I wouldn't have the level of compassion and understanding that I'm able to offer my clients.
Right.
I believe in taking radical responsibility, but I also believe in being gentle and kind to yourself as well. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a balance, because when we think of taking responsibility, it's like, oh, now all of a sudden, you know, I'm to blame. And I don't like that either.
Right.
I don't feel like we need to blame ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need to look at things objectively and go, okay, this is exactly what happened. What am I going to do going forward to make some different choices? And that's where the values come in, is like, okay, if I have this list of values and I'm committed to this list of values, my decisions start to become super easy in the dating life, or in my dating life, and really just in my life in general, because I have this roadmap. I have this outline of what I truly believe that's in alignment with my soul. And so oftentimes, just even doing that one simple thing of making a list of what you want in a partner and the values you want and the values that you're committed to live by is life-changing.
Yes, it is, 100%. Like, and it's a core thing. Like, even if you just did that one thing, that would change everything, because it does give you, like you said, like a roadmap. It's absolutely amazing. And I like the point that you made about responsibility, because I think so many people get caught up in the idea that responsibility has blame associated with it. And I did research on the word responsibility. I like to research words. And mm-hmm. it actually comes from the root ability to respond. So what it is actually an act of self-love. It's responding to yourself. It's looking at yourself and saying, mm-hmm. I see you. I hear you. You know what I mean? Not like you did this and this and this wrong. Like, that's not what it is at all. It just somehow over the years got convoluted and associated with blame, but that's not what it is at all. And when you take responsibility in the sense of awareness, you really start to understand it's like this feeling. It's this feeling of self-love. It's this feeling of empowerment. It's this feeling of responding to yourself. That's like all that it is. And there's no blame associated with it. There was times I blamed myself for sure, but when I was actually taking responsibility, all that I felt was like extreme empowerment. Like that feeling that I've like never felt around anything else. Just, I feel so empowered to change my life. And that is like the best feeling I've ever experienced. That's what it feels like.
Well, you're right. It gives you your power back. Mm-hmm. I just looked at the and we're getting close on the time.
Okay. Thank you.
It gives you your power back. And that's the whole point, is like when I work with clients, like I don't want their power. I want to give them their power back.
Right.
Because so many people they've given their power over to so many other people, and they're always left frustrated. They're always left disappointed. And when we can take our power back, we really truthfully can take those negative emotions and transmute them into something completely beautiful if we're willing to do that, right?
Yes, exactly. Kelly, thank you so much for being on here with me.
I have so much fun.
So we'll have to do it again. But tell my audience, like, where they can find you, social media, website, like the whole shebang.
Yes. So thankful that you had me on today, Katie. I love these conversations. So you can find me at kellylove.com, and I'll spell it because my name is a little weird. We can thank my mother for that, but it's kellylove.com. And you'll find out all about me and, you know, working with me and what that looks like on my website. I'm still in the process of building my website. I just moved platforms, so it's been a little bit fun and interesting kind of to be in that transitional space. But you can also find me on social media, Instagram at Kelly Love, so K-E-L-E-E-L-O-V-E. And also my Facebook, just look up Kelly Love, K-E-L-E-E-L-O-V-E on Facebook, and you'll find my business page as well. So I really appreciate being on here today and sharing in this space with you. This is so fun, and you're definitely becoming one of my biz besties. It's been so fun to connect with you. So thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you so much. I adore you, Kelly, and we're going to have to do this again soon. I'm so excited about releasing this episode.
Awesome. All right, well, have a good rest of your day.
You too. Thank you so much, Kelly. Bye. Yeah,
bye.
For free resources, ebooks, and other super awesome tools, go to my website, sacredspacewithkatie.com. I also want to remind you to subscribe so you always get the latest episode, and to leave a review so other people can find this podcast too. I super appreciate you tuning in today, and I will catch you in the next episode. Have a beautiful day.